From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from the Word of God, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues a series of messages on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the role of the Spirit in prayer. In the course of a message, The Spirit of Prayer, Dr. Cairns is showing how the Holy Spirit helps believers in the place of prayer. As we've already seen, prayer is one of the most neglected areas of the Christian life in actual practice. Believers are often hindered in prayer through ignorance of God's Word and through inability to get through to God. As Dr. Cairns continues the message, we learn that the first thing the Holy Spirit does in every true believer is to create a desire to pray. Before Dr. Cairns comes, the Reverend Colin Mercer, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, reports on the increasing trend of believers investing in the gospel of getting rich.
When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he used very strong words to warn the believers of those who would preach another gospel. In verse 8 of the opening chapter, he said, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now, it's obvious from that kind of dogmatic language that Paul was aware of the danger the Church of Christ would face. Men would appear who would preach a different message. They would ignore the true gospel and replace it with something else. The fact that Paul used such strong terms to denounce this indicates just how serious a thing it would be. Although Paul's words were written hundreds of years ago, they are extremely relevant for the 21st century. This is the age of false gospels. And prominent among the many errors and heresies stands what has become known as the prosperity gospel. The report of the ministry of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland brings this whole issue into very sharp focus. During the Southwest Believers Convention this month, the Copelands, with three of their friends, took turns preaching for 5 days, 10 hours a day. Their message centered on the prosperity gospel. The New York Times report commenced with the words, "On stage before thousands of believers weighed down by debt and economic insecurity, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their all-star lineup of prosperity gospel preachers delighted the crowd with anecdotes about the luxurious lives they had attained by following the Word of God. Private airplanes and boats, a motorcycle sent by an anonymous supporter, vacations in Hawaii and cruises in Alaska, designer handbags, a ring of emeralds and diamonds." The punchline has to be, as stated by Mrs. Copeland, "God knows where the money is, and He knows how to get the money to you." So much could be said about this, but the most important observation has to be that what is being preached in those meetings is not the gospel of Christ. While one enthusiastic supporter may pat her Bible and say the message they preach is the Word of God, the Word doesn't change. The fact is, this is not the gospel of Christ. Let Scripture define the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 3, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Note here, there's only one gospel, and it centers on the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures know no other gospel. It is the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. This is the gospel of the power of God to everyone that believeth, and that is the gospel that Christ has commissioned his church to preach. Any other gospel is wrong, and therefore can never meet the spiritual and eternal needs of men. This is something to keep in mind. The message preached by those who proclaim the prosperity gospel cannot and will not satisfy the souls of men. It cannot and will not deal with sin or guilt or rebellion to God. Only the gospel of Christ can bring a message of hope and life and pardon and salvation to perishing sinners. Anything else will lead to greater misery, frustration, hopelessness, and eternal doom. It has to be alarming that the result in many of those meetings is calculated by the offering. The New York Times report concludes with the words, "At that, after one preaching session at the convention, at that, hundreds streamed down the aisles to the stage, laying envelopes, cash and coins on the carpeted steps." Is that the ultimate aim of gospel preaching? Not at all. The gospel of Christ deals with guilt and sin, not gold and silver. It deals with man's rebellion against God and his reconciliation to God, not his earthly and temporal riches. Furthermore, God does not promise financial prosperity to his people. It is true that some believers are wealthy, but many are not. Elijah had to be fed by ravens and by a widow. Job lost his family and fortune and lived for many days in a poor and impoverished state. The disciples were fishermen, and at times they had very little, not even food to feed themselves. God does not promise financial prosperity to his people. Moreover, the Christian's greatest interest and the Christian's greatest treasure is Christ himself. We are to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. What is the Christian's greatest possession, his greatest prize, his greatest gain, but Christ himself? May we never lose sight of this. The words of Christ are relevant here. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Better to go to heaven with little of this world's goods than to go to hell trusting in a false gospel.
If I gain the world, but had not Jesus, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gain the world, but had not Jesus, would my gain be worth a life of strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled love? Oh, what emptiness without the Savior! Mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him! Only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without a Savior, will I come to die? How would it be? Oh, to face a valley's gloom without Him, and without Him all eternity. Oh, the joy of having all in Jesus, what a balm the broken heart to mine in Jesus, for my need.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
At the heart of prayer we will find lies the Word of God. And an ignorance of the Word of God is going to be a serious impediment in prayer. But not just a knowledge of what the Bible says, but what I suppose the old Puritans would have called a spiritual knowledge, or a knowledge of the spiritual use of the Word of God. Very frequently we don't know which precepts and which promises of the Word of God are applicable to us in a given situation. I pointed out on Wednesday evening in the talk I gave before the time of prayer that you cannot just, especially when it comes to methods of doing things, just run into a passage of Scripture and say, that was done there, therefore that is the way that it must be done today. I pointed out that that's impossible and it can be very, very destructive because it wasn't always done the same way, even in Scripture. So we must have a knowledge of the spiritual use of the Word of God. There are very few men of Issachar, as the Bible calls them, in the first book of Chronicles 12 and 32. You remember those men of Issachar? They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That's a tremendous ability given only by the Spirit of God. So we have, therefore, first of all, this ignorance. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. And then we don't know the spiritual use of the Word of God. So there's ignorance. But then there's inability. Let me give you some very familiar scriptures. You remember the Lord Jesus, Matthew 26, 41. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he comes to his disciples and finds them sleeping when they ought to have been praying. Now let's not blame them. How many times would the Lord come to you or me and find us sleeping when we ought to be praying? How many times have you started out to pray and you sleep and you don't pray? We have all known that. The devil can put anybody to sleep on his knees. In fact, and I don't mean this in any way facetiously, but I do tell you this. If you have difficulty getting to sleep at night, you should pray. Try it. Winston Churchill once said that he never feared sleeplessness. If he couldn't sleep, he didn't have the wit to pray. So he got up and he would work. Because he said, there's nothing wrong with not sleeping at night. The only thing that's wrong is when you worry about it. And there's a lot of truth in that. But I'll tell you, if Christians would pray, they would find it would help their sleeping. For the devil would want to make sure you get to sleep rather than let you pray. And if the Lord overrules him and you don't get to sleep, I'll tell you, at least you'll put your waking hours to good use. Notice how often the psalmist spoke about his meditation upon his bed, about his songs in the night. Those were sleepless hours. When sleep would not come to the man of God, what did he do? He prayed. You'll find if you try to pray, the devil will want you to sleep. That's what happened to them in Gethsemane. They fell asleep. Now the Lord Jesus came and he said, the Spirit indeed is willing. That's the mark of a Christian, you know. His Spirit is willing to pray. Said Christ, the flesh is weak. There's inability. Paul spoke of this weakness in Romans 7 and 18. He said, how to perform the good thing. Not merely prayer, but any good thing. How to perform it. I fight not. I know what I ought to do, but how to do it. That's something that so often, he says, escapes me. In fact, Jesus said to these disciples that they couldn't even watch for 1 hour. Now we could, you know, bring that to modern times. And for most preachers, they couldn't pray for 5 minutes. For most church members, they couldn't pray for 5 minutes either. It's not that they can't watch for 1 hour, but they can't even watch for more than a few seconds. Here is inability, and these are the problems, the impediments about prayer. Now, there is an answer, and I want to tell you that the answer is not gritting your teeth and saying, well, I have to do it. That's not going to be the answer. That will lead to bondage that will be bitter to your soul. But the answer, thank God, has been provided in the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We have read two texts today. Ephesians 2:18 speaks of the privilege of prayer. We have access by the Spirit on the merits of Jesus Christ, by the energy, by the power, by the guidance and the grace of the Spirit of God. We have access to God. Then in Zechariah 12 and 10, there is a promise about the power of prayer. The Lord says, I will pour upon these people the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And He's given a peculiar title, the Spirit of grace and of supplications. And that deals with the ability to pray. We have access and we have ability from God the Holy Spirit. And so today, very simply, I want us to take a few minutes to think upon the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of prayer. Now, as the Spirit of prayer, there are various things that the Holy Spirit does. First and foremost, He creates a desire to pray. Zechariah 12 and 10, He is the Spirit of grace and supplications. He is the Spirit with whom originates grace and with whom originate supplications. He is the one who first of all creates within any man's breast a desire to pray. Now this comes first of all to the matter of salvation. First and foremost, when God the Holy Spirit regenerates a man, He gives him a desire to pray. He gives that man the desire to call upon Christ for salvation. No man will call without that. Without the Holy Ghost, sinners are so stubborn in their sin, so settled in their sin, that they have no desire to call upon Christ for salvation. Now, sinners can desire to be religious. Sinners can desire to be upright and moral living. But there is one thing that it's impossible for the mind of the flesh, and that is to desire to repent of sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. The Spirit of God creates a desire in an unsaved man by regenerating him to pray. Now, if you have never a desire to call on Christ, you can be a Protestant, you can be a Presbyterian, you can be baptized, you can be in the church membership, you can sing in the choir, you can preach in the pulpit, you can do what you like, but you're not saved. You're not saved. Any person who can blindly go through life without a desire to pray is a person in whom the Spirit of God has not done the first saving work. The very first thing that the Holy Ghost does when He regenerates a man is to cause that man to pray. In Acts, you will read in chapter 9 of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord Jesus appeared to Ananias in the city of Damascus and told him to go to Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias thought that the Lord had made a mistake. Isn't it wonderful that even spiritual men like Ananias would argue with God and say, Lord, you've made a mistake. And he says, Lord, I have heard by many. You know, that's a big problem with so many Christians. Instead of hearing from the Lord, they're hearing from the many. Instead of being tuned to heaven, they're tuned to earth. Instead of being moved and motivated by what God is revealing to their hearts from the throne of glory, they are held in check by what they see in the circumstances and the people of this world round about them. And Ananias says, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. And the Lord puts his heart to rest and he says, you go to Saul of Tarsus. How did Ananias know that this man was saved? Jesus says, behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. First thing the Holy Ghost does is create a desire to pray.
And when a man has called on the Lord for salvation, the Holy Spirit in Christians will lead them to pray and give them the desire to pray. He will put within their souls an urgency to pray, even when there are many impediments, even when there's their own personal weakness. Yet the Holy Spirit will witness in their heart to encourage and even to drive them to prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.